Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Coach Chat Radio. I'm Lori Lawson, and my fantastic co-host is the amazing missing man.
Thank you.
The amazing Bernie Siegel. Yes.
Bernie Siegel calling in from Greenwich Village, New York.
All right. So let me tell you a little bit about Coach Chat. We at Coach Chat think that if you change your perspective, you can change your whole life. We developed this show for coaches and those interested in one of the fastest growing professions in the world today. We hook you up with some of the world's leading coaches who share their expertise and give you tips and takeaways for expanding your life and your business. And boy, do we have a treat for you today. Magna Mook. Hey, Magna.
Hey, how are you doing?
good. Let me tell those few people who may not know who you are a little bit about you, and then we've got a whole new concept coming from ICF. We're so excited. Magna is the executive director and the CEO of International Coach Federation. She joined ICF in 2005 and has supported ICF with extensive experience in fundraising, development, consultation, and association management. She's also serving as chair of the American Society of Executives from 2019 to 2020. The International International Association Advisory Council. I'm never going to say it again as long as we're taping the show. All right, so Magna, welcome. We are excited to have you.
Thank you, and thank you so much for inviting me back. I've been on this show before, and clearly I did not make too much of a fool of myself, so I'm back.
It's a great way to start the new year, Magda. And today we're going to focus a bit on, or maybe a lot on, introducing One ICF, your new branding. One of the things that I wanted to ask you, though, many years ago, people don't know, but I served as on the board with Magda as the vice chair. And back in those days, wasn't that long ago, if we said International Coaching Federation, we get scolded, right? Because it was International Coach Federation.
Coach.
And now, right? And now it's International Coaching Federation. walk us a little bit through how that happened.
Yes. Yeah, it's a super good question and really at the forefront of the new brand and the reason that we thought about the new brand. So as Bernie said, for the longest time, as you know, and last year we celebrated our 25th anniversary as an organization, the name has been International Coach Federation. Now, if you look into the original purpose of creating ICF, and we are lucky enough that there are still many people who were at the very first, thoughts and talks around creating ICF. What was the purpose? And each and every one of them would tell you, and that's also what has been reflected in the vision and mission of the ICF, it was to give credibility to the coaching profession. It was to grow awareness of coaching, and so on and so forth. So several years back, as we started talking with the board of directors, it was like, did we depart from that very mission and vision, and we focused exclusively on coach, including the name? And should we start thinking about expanding our reach to really represent the coaching profession rather than representing first and foremost coach practitioner? And when you start thinking about it, we started doing that no matter what. We started doing research about coaching in organizations. We started looking into how coaching, again, coaching, is bringing ROI and ROE, return on expectation, to the organizations and institutions. So it was like, okay, are we really, by the construct that we were under, if you will, for the 25 years, are we really delivering the best on our vision and especially our mission of coaching, again, becoming an integral part of a thriving society? Hence the change in the name.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I love that. I never, you know, I just accepted it. You tell me, okay, now we're International Coaching Federation. It's like, all right. But it's interesting to see that it fits in with the plans that you have for expanding, you know, and empowering. Tell us, we've all seen, well, we haven't all, but some of us have seen the new logo, which I love, and that's reflecting the brand that you all have come up with that encompasses all of kind of what you just said. Tell us about that new brand that's going on.
Yeah, you know, when the board accepted and approved the concept of us going into the one ICF, which also meant that we were creating six more pronounced and explicit organizations to deliver on that promise and the mission of coaching, which was one specifically devoted to internationally acclaimed professional coaches, members of ICF, one that is devoted to coaching in organizations, one that is specifically focusing on standards and credentialing, one specifically looking into coach training. ICF Foundation has been around for quite a little bit. And then, of course, the newest addition to the family, the thought leadership, that is taking us into what coaching may and should become. So with all of that, we were thinking about, okay, and we are only so much stronger when we are together as one, and yet we allow each of those, we call them family organizations, focus on what's most important to the stakeholders that they serve. And then we come together in the circle that you saw that really represents one ICF. What we also were thinking about was that because of doing that, our sphere of influence is much different. And for that matter, we can be in conversation with decision makers outside of the immediate coaching profession, who in fact, excuse me, may be more impactful into making sure that the service being purchased, corporations, organizations, governments, you name it, and that coaching is the service offered, not necessarily exclusively, of course, but service offered to others for the betterment of the whatever the purpose of the organization that they're helping with or an individual is concerned. But again, the one ICF is really focusing on the fact that those elements that we identified right now are appropriate for putting coaching, professional coaching, at the forefront of everything, and that it really is a solution to many of the issues that we are facing right now. And it also invites the thought that in the future, we may see different parts of that puzzle. And it's great. We may invite more. We may decide that some are not relevant anymore. Being relevant is something that's probably one of the greatest guiding principles in this process. We need to be relevant to our members, to our stakeholders, and frankly, coaching clients are becoming more and more important stakeholders in our organization.
One thing I'm amazed at is that during the time of COVID, and a lot of people were just hunkering down, that you've been able to roll all this out. I'm kind of amazed by it. So maybe you could speak a little to that during a time like this, to be so focused, to be able to rebrand yourself like this.
Well, thank you for that. And yeah, last year was not an easy year by no stretch of imagination. As you may know, we did a survey with PricewaterhouseCoopers asking our members and other coaches in the field of how COVID impacted them. And very interestingly, at that point, that survey was in the field in May and June of last year. Interestingly, about 25% said that they were very negatively impacted. About 50% said that they didn't see any difference whatsoever. And about 25% said they were very positively impacted, or their business has been, by COVID. For us as an association, it was an extremely busy year because, as you can imagine, we had to stop in our tracks and do things so differently. We developed tons of materials, resources, references for our members so they could find their way in a new COVID way. And you're right, that work on the brand was going in the background. We were hoping to reveal the new brand last year since it was our 25th anniversary, but then with COVID, it would have been appropriate, and neither, I think, it would have been noticed. So there was a conscious decision to change it around. But that also allowed us to have a very vast consultation on that brand. You know, it was not some graphic designer behind her, well, actually it's her, desk to develop it. It was a lot of data gathering about what are the attributes for our brand, what do we want to be known for. The colors, you've seen the colors. The colors are actually reflective of the attributes of each of the family organizations. So a lot of thought got to it, and we had a little bit more time to be sure is never a word, right, with marketing and brand, but to be quite confident with going out with this new brand and making sure that it resonates with our stakeholders.
Yet another blessing of the pandemic. It gave you time to really think about what you wanted to put out there and do it so beautifully. I love your terminology where you're calling them a family organization, but you have two new family members, so to speak, the Thought Leadership Institute and Coaching in Organizations. Tell us a little bit about those.
Yeah, these are brand new kids on the block. We love our children the same, so just bear with me. But I start with Coaching in Organizations because for quite a while, by our own research, either with PricewaterhouseCoopers or especially with Human Capital Institute, we started doing deeper dives into what is happening in organizations, for-profit primarily, but also not-for-profit. And what we found out was that some of the organizations are creating coaching cultures within their organization. We then went deeper into finding out how younger generations that now are entering those corporations are utilizing coaching and what is their attitude towards coaching. We then found out that coaching, in fact, is really supporting change management initiatives. And something that is not a surprise, I don't think, for any of us, is that there is a new trend in leadership development that managers and leaders should be utilizing coaching style, coach-like approach in their managerial style. So all those research pieces pointed to the fact that organizations are not only accepting coaching, adopting coaching, but also are pretty proud of having coaching as the offerings for their employees and their enterprises. And by our own design, we did not have a space for either coaching in organizations or organizations creating coaching cultures within the construct of the ICF. So with that, we also found that the managers and leaders using coaching skills was the fastest growing part of the coaching continuum, according to the respondents to our surveys. So we're like, wow, and right now we don't have much for you, and you need us. You know, because if we, the largest coaching organization in the world, do not offer it to you, how would you know, right? So that was kind of no brainer. Into we have to have an offering for organizations using coaching.
And who's involved? Is there a board for this particular family member? How is it function?
Yes, every family organization has its own board. And there are certain criteria developed for each and every one of them. For example, you mentioned CIO, coaching in organization. One has to be a coach within the organization to be eligible to serve on the board.
Wow.
And then...
Well, talk about...
And then...
Oh.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Hello, you still there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes.
Okay.
Did I interrupt you? You were
going
to say something?
No, no, not at all. But I'm going to give you a little bit, unless you want to continue on coaching in organizations. I'll be happy to give you a little bit more insight into the Thought Leadership Institute.
Definitely.
I'd love to hear about that.
So this is also very exciting. I'm super excited about this new kit. Because coaching, as you well know, is still very much an evolving profession. Some may even argue if this is a profession. And when we looked into the marketplace, because as you know, ICF does a lot of research, either market research or even scientific research into what's happening in the field of coaching. But there are other pockets. There are other groups that would release some interesting findings here and there. And, for example, as we said, you know, the whole concept of coaching in organizations, managers and leaders using coaching skills, internal coaching. Nowadays, team coaching or is coaching as it is with the new competencies reflective of the cultural constructs of the geographies that coaching is being delivered. So what we noticed is that there is not a place, there is not a forum, there is not a space for people to come together and in a very unobstructed way have a what-if conversation. And the what-if may be just amusing around, exactly, what if artificial intelligence becomes better than human cultures, right? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, that what-if space can turn into, all right, if that's what we consider being a trend, then how do we prepare our professional coaches and their clients to adopt to yet another evolution of where coaching is going? And even, you know, going a little further is like, how we stretching a little bit the boundaries of coaching, where is the line that we should not cross? With the future of work, how coaching would really contribute or not to the excellence of future workforce. How coaching can help with social progress and social change. Where is coaching, or is it responsible for, say, climate change? All these big conversations that I think are often on the mind of many people, and as I said, did not seem to have a place to happen. Hence the creation of the Leadership Institute to have that place and make sure that these conversations are not being limited necessarily or influenced by what would members say. No, let's have that conversation first, and then let's see what the members say.
Wow. It's I guess my questions now are revolving around that. How does someone get involved with the Thought Leadership Institute? As somebody that's maybe interested in artificial intelligence or neuroscience or whatever it is that people are focusing in on today, how does this family member actually going to be functioning?
Mm-hmm. So again, it's already up and running. It does have a board of directors. What is a little different about these coaching in organizations and also here with the Thought Leadership Institute is that one does not have to be a member of ICF or a coach, mind you, to be involved. Because we would, especially with Thought Leadership Institute, we would love to bring diverse opinions. We would love to hear from scientists, from artists, from designers. You know, what we hear is the periphery that allows the growth, especially for the most senior and experienced coaches. So we love those voices to be in a conversation. So there is a board of directors that there would be an application, you know, every year to fill up that. But specifically for Thought Leadership, in March, I think we are hoping for holding our first small gathering, which would produce some white papers and maybe position papers, which then the general stakeholder group of the one ICF will be invited to comment, to maybe become a part of a working party if we want to take some research somewhere else, or if you want to see a practical application. This particular group is very ambitious about having a robust forum for conversation, so that would be precisely the place to get involved.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
That's, you know, yeah. I have to give you really credit because you really know how to use the survey. So the next time ICF send you a survey, everybody out there, fill it out. They're listening and they're taking notes and they're responding to it. All right. So you know what? What happened? Tell us did anything happen differently with the older family members, like credentialing and standards and professional coaches? And what will be the changes there with these other branches going on?
Yeah, there is a change, but again, you know, it's all under that banner of one ICF. Because let's take credentialing and standards and coach training. For the longest time, ICF, well, longest time, I shouldn't say that. It's been only, 20 years that ICF has been offering credentials and also accreditation for training. And yet we did hear quite a lot of rumbling from outside, again, of the coaching profession, especially from the academia, that merging those two or having those two being coach training and credentialing under one roof is not the standard that is typically applied to the accredited organizations and organizations issuing credentials. So we did separate the two. So coach training is one organization now, and the credentials and standards is another one. That will allow us to apply for the International Standards Organization accreditation for our credentialing program. There is a specific standard by ISO that pertains to organizations issuing credentials to individuals. And if and when, and I want to say when, we get that, we will be the only coaching organization having ISO approval for our credentials. If that's not a game changer, I don't know what is. Right.
Wow.
Coach training, right? Coach training being its separate organization also has now an ability to focus more on the family of already existing coach training providers and provide a better forum for them to have a conversation, but also to look into what is new and exciting in adult learning. What is new and exciting in curriculum development? Nowadays, with COVID, what is new and exciting in psychology of online learning? So what we offer to the future coaches in the view of education is more reflective of what's the most effective. And with that, you know, so that's kind of the process side. But there is also a content side. As we updated our core competencies, of course, the training providers will have to reflect that. But there is so much talk about diversity and inclusion. What is the responsibility of coach training in reflecting that? What is the responsibility of coach training to bring ethics conversation to the different level? Right. So now this new family organization can look at it in a with that lens and very laser lens of what is it that really makes coach training effective, efficient, reflective of what it needs to be, and also following the ways that the modern education is happening. And I think the most important thing is that nothing changes for professional coaches. Professional coaches will always be the core and the heart of ICF as an organization, and that particular family organization is, again, will be able and afforded the space in everything ICF, one ICF does, to really focus on what is the need and desire of individual coach. Is it from the perspective of the business development? Great. Is it from the perspective of what is the trajectory of moving from one level to another level of proficiency? And now the professional coaches organization will have the sisters and brothers that they will say, like, okay, we see a big gap between somebody joining the organization with their 60 hours of training before they actually go for the credential. Dear credential family organization, dear coach training family organization, can you help us figure out what's needed? Or if we figure out what's needed, can you help us make it happen? So basically each family organization leverages the work of the other.
I guess my final question would be, because I have so many I could ask, during the Great Recession years ago, a lot of people entered the coaching profession. Mm-hmm. Is there any noticeable, or have you seen anything to see whether, because of COVID, it's affecting people coming into to the profession again in bigger numbers?
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to answer it in two ways, or two answers to your rather simple question. One is yes, we know this tremendous influx of new members. Our new members grew over last year by 37%. That's significant.
Wow.
Now, we as you know, we survey people out of Wazoo. So we did ask the question, was the COVID reason or influence on your decision to join ICF? Only 7% said yes.
Mm-hmm.
So So in a way, it's like I was surprised. I have to tell you, I thought, especially from the experience as you just referred, Bernie, the experience of 2008, 2009, mm-hmm. where we did hear a little bit different story, right? This time, as I said, 7%. I was surprised. We'll see. I think that the reading will be in the renewals of this year with all these people who joined us in 2020, indeed maintain their membership, which often is indicative of if they continue pursuing their profession as a coach.
Well, I think you've made the profession even more exciting with this new brand. I'm so glad that you came, Magna, and explained it to us and got us all revved up, and I can't wait to hear more about it. But we are out of time, unfortunately, which always happens when we're talking. So I'm going to say thank you so much for coming, Bernie. Thank you so much for being a great co-host, and we will see you guys in February. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Bye. Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.